01419511025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Neil Lennon says he'll be happy with his lot if Celtic don't add any more signings this month. Rangers will need to be pretty perfect until May, according to Gary McAllister. And Hibs v Dundee United is the pick of the Scottish Cup replays tonight. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me is Gordon DL and Roger Hannah.
Yeah, and the football and the stories are coming thick and fast. Now we're back at the football. Gordon, Ismaila Soro has joined Patrick Klimala in the snow at Lennoxtown. Ryan Jack has joined James Tavernier on the treatment table at Auchinhowie. But Alfredo Morelos is back and ready to play. And of course, Hibs and Dundee United go head to head for the chance to play the other Glasgow team left in the Scottish Cup, BSC.
Yeah, it'll be interesting now. I think the transfer window is nearing an end, Gordon. Will there be any exciting news for any other teams? Will Rangers bring someone in? I know there was talk this morning about trying to get a few off the wage bill to bring a new player in, just to give them a fresh face getting into the last leg of the title run. Celtic, Neil Lennon's come out and said, well, I'm quite happy with the business I'm doing and I've done. So it'll be interesting. The window's not closed yet. Watch this space.
0141 951 1025. That's the number you need to get in touch tonight. We would love to hear from you, so why not give us a call? Or if you would rather tweet, that's fine as well. You can do that at Clyde SSB. What did you make of the weekend's action?
I thought it was ropey from Celtic first half. Going by the calls we got after the game, Gordon, a few Celtic fans agreed with that. Ross County probably had more chances at Celtic Park than they'll ever have, for me. I couldn't believe the first half how open Celtic were at the back. But second half, yes, a big talking point was obviously Edouard, come on, first touch, puts the ball in the back of net, 2-3 minutes later, puts the game to bed. I said when I was sitting at Celtic Park, Gordon, that a lot was 1-0 and you can always get hit with that sucker punch. Never did I think second half Ross County were going to get back in it. I thought it was just a case of when Celtic scored. But when you've got the luxury of bringing such a talent on as Edouard, and it shows you he's on the pitch, defenders are friendly to this guy because they know what he brings to the table. And obviously the first touch of the ball, he really does put the game to bed. And then he puts the icing on the cake with second one, Gordon. Good display. Neil Lennon will be absolutely over the moon. Opened a 5-point gap and saw Rangers losing at Tynecastle. And also, on to that, and we did criticise the back four, they get a clean sheet.
And then it was over to Sunday. Roger, we build it up a week. We said it's always a fascinating fixture, regardless of the form of Hearts. And it proved to be quite the afternoon in the capital.
Well, the weekend just simply reinforced how important the two centre-forwards are to the two clubs, Gordon, because Celtic, as Daz says, for an hour toiled without Odson Edouard. He's protecting this little toe injury that he's carrying at the minute, and it reminded me a little bit of the League Cup final. You know, Edouard was stuck in the bench carrying an injury at the League Cup final. Celtic toyed for an hour, sent on Edouard, he won the free kick from which Christopher Julian scored the goal. The weekend there, toiled for an hour, on he came, scores two in about 8 minutes, and the game is won. So Celtic, you know, Neil Lennon must lie awake at night hoping Odson Edouard's toe injury doesn't get any worse for the run of games coming up. And the Rangers didn't even have the luxury of sending on Morelos. They've played three games without Morelos. They've looked sluggish. They've looked ordinary in the three games. They got away with it against Stranraer and St Mirren. They didn't get away with it at Tynecastle at the weekend. When Morelos is there, he leads the team from the front. He takes them further up the pitch. He bullies defenders. He wasn't there, and they really, really missed him. And the important thing now for Neil Lennon and Steven Gerrard is to make sure Edouard and Morelos are fit and available and first names in the team sheet.
Noticeable for me, Roger, and you're right in what you say about Morelos, what he brings to the team. And he brings so much to Rangers, leading the front line. Defoe is a magnificent striker. You know, a couple of times on Sunday, just that extra yard again, just caught up with him. But put the ball in the box, usually he'll go on the end of it. I think a massive miss for Rangers was the captain, yeah. Tavernier.
I'm sure we'll get stuck into that a bit later on. Let's kick off by hearing from Neil Lennon, speaking about a few different subjects today. The one that jumps out maybe though, says he'll be happy even if Celtic don't add any more signings. So really looking for your response to that, Celtic fans. Do you agree? Are you quite happy with your lot, or would you be disappointed if you didn't get another face in before the end of the week? He's also not getting too carried away by Rangers dropping points. It's St Johnstone away for Celtic tomorrow, 5 points clear. He says they simply need to focus on themselves.
It's the result that happens. You know, things will, you know, twist and turn maybe as we go along. We're just concentrating on St Johnstone tomorrow and, you know, looking forward to the game because, you know, we've played quite well since the turn of the year.
Does it give the players a lift, though, when they see in a title race points dropping?
I've not really detected any change really in their emotions, you know, over the last couple of days. So our focus, like I say, is on tomorrow, and it'll be a tough game. You know, we've got a raft of games coming up now, you know, midweek, weekend. So we just take it as it comes, you know. We're getting players back, you know, Christie's in the squad, Ayer's back in the squad, you know, so that strengthens us as well, which is an obvious bonus.
Ismaila Sorrow became the second January signing yesterday. He won't feature tomorrow night, Neil Lennon says. It's been a successful month.
Just a little bit more quality and, you know, a bit of support in there in the midfield area. And, you know, he's had a good career so far. You know, he's played in some tough leagues and he's played for a team that, you know, wouldn't have been one of the top teams in Israel, but he's, you know, he's stood out and he's been very consistent in his performances there. If we don't do anything else, I'll be happy. You know, we've got a great squad and, you know, real quality in it. If it's a very difficult window, and we'll see how things go from there. We've got a couple of good players in, you know, and we've sort of streamlined the squad a little bit. You know, Kamala will add a little bit of firepower and pace to the attack, which is what we needed, and Sarr will bring a bit of strength to the midfield as well. So at the minute, we're definitely stronger.
If we don't do anything else, I'll be happy, says Neil Lennon. Celtic fans, do you agree with that, or would you be a bit uncomfortable if that was to be the case? Would you rather see someone else in before the end of the week? You tell us. 0141 951 1025.
Well, January's about two things, Gordon. It's a holding on to your key players in your own squad and trying to add that little bit extra for the run in. We've spoken in the show almost every night in the month of December about Celtic's need to get another striker in to take the burden off Edouard in the run-in. And Patrick Kalamala is that striker. £3.5 million, Polish under 21 international, lots of goals for Jagiellonia over there, and Celtic will believe he can enhance the squad. Sorrow, for me, is going to be one for the future. He's only 21 years of age, but he's got less, you know, top flight experience than Klimala. He mentioned himself, it might take him a little bit of time to get up to speed, to be challenging the Browns and the McGregors and the Enchams. But long term, he's probably going to be a decent investment as well. So Neil Lennon, I'm quite sure, is happy with the business that's been done. If they drop anything in Dermot Park tomorrow night, though, I think Thursday and Friday they'll be looking to do something.
John is on the line. John is a Celtic fan. If you were to do no more business between now and the end of the window, John, would you be happy, just like Neil Lennon?
Certainly not, Gordon and Gordon, Roger.
Hi, John.
To me, I watched that game. Don't be wrong, I had great fun on Sunday, winding my friends up on Facebook over the result, you know what I mean? But in hindsight, the defence is needing, we need another defender in, Gordon and Roger, and hopefully, if the Benkovic, I don't know if it's viable, do you think we could get him at the end of the season? Because I know he's been wanting to get out and loan. We were lucky not to be three or four down on Saturday. Defence was terrible. I don't know what it was. To me, there's not a dominant figure in there. You know what I mean? It's been lacking for a while now, so we're needing another defender in. So I just wonder, you think we could get Benkovic in?
I think, John, the key to the defence for Celtic is a consistency of selection, because if you roll up at the games at the weekend, you're never really too sure who's going to be in the back four, or the back three, as it turned out to be at Kilmarnock the other game there. I think when Celtic have been in their best in the run-ins in the last couple of years, it was Boyata and Benkovic together, and they formed a solid pairing. Even in the first half of this season, when it was Julian and Ayer together, El Hamed was one side, Bolingoli was the other. There was a period there where they did look reasonably solid. But now, you know, sometimes it's Hayes, sometimes it's Bolingoli, sometimes it's Taylor. On the other side, since El Hamed's been injured, It was Frimpong, then Frimpong was at a wing back. Suddenly it was a three at the back. So I think, you know, if you're worried about defence, the key for me is just to go with a settled back four in front of Fraser Foster, stick with them, and they can build or rebuild an understanding.
What is the likelihood of Benkovic though? Is that just simply people looking at a player who used to play for Celtic and seeing a guy who now doesn't feature in his first team and putting two and two together?
I would be surprised if there wasn't an interest in Benkovic, simply because he did so well the first time he was here, Gordon. Celtic have gone back in the past. They went back and get Fraser Foster again. They went back and get Patrick Roberts for a second time. So it's not beyond, you know, the realms of possibility they're looking at Benkovic again. What I will say is there are big clubs in the English Championship who probably have the ability to pay more of Benkovic's wages and more of the loan fee than Celtic might be willing to pay at this stage.
I mean, Gordon, if you were of a mind to stick up for the Celtic defence, you would be able to do it quite easily. You would say they've conceded 14 league goals in 22 games this season, which ain't bad. Mm-hmm. And they got the first clean sheet at the weekend after a run of games without a clean sheet. Having said that, you can always look to improve. You can always find areas that you can do better in. And I think pretty much every Celtic fan that's got in touch with us saw a good few of those on Saturday.
Yeah.
2 seconds, John.
Clean sheets are everything, Gordon. They build confidence. I thought first half, I'm going in the first half performance, I thought the back four were all over the place, Gordon. I really did. And I thought they were very lucky. And I think a lot of Celtic fans will admit that. They were very, very lucky to go in with a clean sheet. Now, I think Celtic have got a massive squad. Full of quality. I think they've got a lot of players there, and if they get everybody back fit, I think Neil Lennon gives himself a great headache by who to pick, who's his going to be his strongest 11. But if you said to me that now Benkovic coming in, would I take him? Yes, I would, because I think he's better than any of the two centre halves it's at Celtic, and it would only strengthen you.
John, what are your feelings on Christopher Julian then? You say you don't think there's a dominant figure in there. This is a guy who was brought in for £7 million in the summer. I assume he was meant to be that dominant figure. Why don't you think so?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes I think he's a bit too namby-pamby, you know what I mean? We've not really done a centre-half since Big Baldy would just go through everything that was in front of him, you know what I mean? To me, sometimes he looks as if he's up for it, and other times he's not. But I know what Roger's coming for. I don't know what young Taylor's done wrong with Neil Lennon, but I know, as you say, maybe he sees him in training. But I know Ball and Bolly was doing all right, and then Johnny Hayes never let Celtic down. But I just don't know. It seems to be the centre, the two centre halves. I mean, it epitomised it with the goal Katic scored in Old Firm game, you know what I mean? Nobody attacked the ball, you know what I mean? But to me, they haven't got a guy that's going to go through people. And I know Benkovic is maybe not that kind of player too, but I think he's a more cultured defender than the other two. Now, obviously, I think he would bring it. But see the other point I was going to make about a marquee signing coming. Why could Celtic try and go and get Wanyama? Apparently, Spurs now are dropped the price. Now, I'm sure we've got the money to get that guy, man. You know what I mean?
John, there's not a pitch in the world big enough to play all your midfield players. You've got that many. Wanyama's a terrific player, I've got to say. But now, because of Sorrow coming, I can't see that happening. I don't think they'll go and get another midfield player. They're full of midfield players. They've got enough strikers in. Right now, I think the best of Julian will come next year, Gordon. I really do. I think he needs a year to settle into the Scottish football. I go week by week with this guy. One week I see him and I think, do you know what? You're a real deal. And then the following week I see him and I think, my God, there are mistakes just waiting to happen.
Can you give people a year in this climate that we've got?
Well, have a look at how long did it take Barisic to settle into Rangers? It took him a bit of time. I think he's getting used to the Scottish game. I think he's getting used to the pace of it. I think John's right. Sometimes I think he has got real quality, the guy. And I think sometimes he just goes out there and think, this could be an easy afternoon for me. And then he gets caught up in one or two things. Then when he goes out and he really has to step up to the mark, you look at him and you think, yeah, he's a real quality player.
I don't think
player.
You can be a bad player, Daz, if you're man of the match and keep a clean sheet at Ibrox. I don't think you can be a bad player if you keep a clean sheet in a Hampden Cup final and still have time to go up and score the winning goal. So he's clearly got qualities there. But John's right. You know, it's maybe the ones round about him. You know, the weekend it was Bauer, Simunovic and Hayes.
Roger,
the majority
of
the season has been Frimpong, Ayer and Bolingoli.
I witnessed the captain on Saturday, Scott Brown, turning round and having a real go at him. And I mean a real go at him, because he was slack. And it was, wasn't just him. I thought the back four were poor. First half, second half, a lot better. Celtic dominated game, up to gears, won the game comfortably. But Scott Brown had a real go at him. And I think Scott Brown was saying, listen, this isn't easy as we think. Get the finger out and we need to start playing here. And eventually they got the 3 points.
Neil is on Twitter. He says Celtic need El Hamed fit. He says he's the best right back at the club. Him and Taylor should be throwbacks all day. Jury's still out on Julian, says Neil. So we're just asking, Neil Lennon happy with the transfer dealings? If it ends there, Neil Lennon's happy. Do you agree? Stephen is in Ballymurk. Hi, Stephen.
Hi.
What's on your mind tonight, Stephen?
I just want to know, in a pound's opinion, if Celtic do go on to win the league this year, how many points clear do you think they'll need to be before like, they concede that Rangers will only be able to catch them?
Oof, there's a question.
Well, that's one for Roger. He's good at being the pundit. I'm trying to work that out in my head, how many games off. I think, Stephen, I think it's this season. I know Celtic are 5 points in front just now. Rangers, obviously, that game in hand against St Johnstone at Ibrox. I fully expect, and no disrespect, I fully expect Rangers to win that. So I think it's going to be nip and tuck all the way, Gordon. I think this will go to last two, three games of the season. I think it'll be that close.
It was interesting to listen to Stephen Gerrard after the defeat at Tynecastle. He said Rangers blinked and he didn't expect there to be too many more blinks from either side between now and May. I'm not so sure. I think if you go back through the season's history, it will show that there quite often are blinks and they quite often come at the least expected moment. If you look at Celtic this season, who'd have thought they would have dropped points in that defeat at Livingston? You look at Rangers, not many people expected them to lose the game against the team bottom of the league who'd only won two games all season. So sometimes it's in the least expected fixture that points get dropped. So I think there will be blinks, and I agree with you, Naz, it will certainly go on for me post-split and go on longer than it has for several seasons.
A couple of days left of the transfer window, Stephen. Are you happy with the look of the Celtic squad at the moment, going 5 points clear, of course, at the weekend?
Well, it looks as if Lennon's doing his job, basically. I'd like to see Benkovic maybe come in, just for extra cover, more or less, but I'm pretty happy the way it's going just now.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, the reaction to Saturday's game, it's kind of shocked me a little bit, I guess, on the phones, was just the volume of criticism for not playing Greg Taylor, for playing Johnny Hayes, for various defensive lapses. Are we, and I know it's high tension, I know it's a very important season, but surely you have to look back on that as being a very positive weekend for Celtic. They score three, they concede none, and then they see their rivals lose on Sunday. Yes, there are always areas for improvement, but they're not a bit of overreacting going on?
Yeah, probably. And I think it's all down to the fact, Gordon, and I'm one, I'll hold my hands up. I didn't think for one moment that Ross County would have come down to Celtic Park with the game plan and actually attack Celtic, especially in the first half, and create it the chances they create it. Now, in another day, and we've all got to be honest here, in another day, Ross County easily could have had 2-3 goals in the first half. Now, I will say before Celtic fans start arguing, well, hold on a minute, Julian missed a great chance and Forrest missed a great chance. How you know, they didn't score was beyond me. But I think it was all down to that. And when you start looking, thinking, do you know what? No disrespect to Ross County Strikers. You come up against better quality, going up the league.
Yeah, but chances are, will that back four play together again?
Gordon. I don't know. But you're going down
not
to the
often, you can't
right,
imagine.
But the big question, I think, on Saturday, and I said it wasn't a witch hunt, I think Johnny Hayes came in for a bit of criticism from the Celtic fans. I said that, me personally, you've got a natural left back, Greg Taylor. You've paid in the guts of £2.5 million. It's up to Neil Lennon. He's a guy that decides.
If you are Stuart Kettlewell or Stephen Ferguson, having seen County play like that at Celtic Park on Saturday, how do you put Ross County out at Ibrox tomorrow night?
I'd go the same exact same
and
way.
Attack Rangers.
I would go the exact same way, because let's face it, Roger, if you go to Celtic Park and you go to Ibrox and you just constantly sit back, they, with the quality both teams have got, will break you down eventually. Sometimes you've got to be more positive.
Stephen and Ballymurk, thank you very much for your call. This is an ideal time to get your call into us. We're going to get some travel with Stephen, and then we'll hear from the Rangers camp. Gary McAllister has been speaking today.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna are here. Plenty of time for you to still get your calls in. We're here until 8 o'clock looking back on the weekend's biggest talking points, dealing with today's issues, and of course looking ahead to tomorrow as well. The games are coming at us thick and fast, so if you want to get involved, 01419511025, and Twitter is at ClydeSSB. Gary McAllister was on media duty today. He says there will be no panic at Rangers, continue trusting the players and what they've been doing. He believes they'll need to be pretty perfect from now on to lift the title, and is sure they'll get the right reaction tomorrow.
Obviously, everybody's disappointed with the performance and the result. Good chat here. You know, went over a few things. First thing is, there's no panic. You know, the thing is, we've been in a good run. I don't think anybody's seen it coming. You know, we were, as the manager said, we were pretty unrecognisable. The fact that we didn't play and we didn't compete. But the players are well aware. And the beauty is that we've got games coming up, so we've not got a lot of time to dwell. We've got to push it to the back burners and move forward. We need to be pretty perfect. We're well aware of that. We know we've got a rough idea about the points tallies required to be successful. You know, there's very little wriggle room. Having worked with the majority of these guys for 18 months and maybe a wee bit longer now, I know the type of person that's in the dressing room. So there's no time to dwell on the poor result. You know, we've had a really good run of results, to be perfectly honest. But I think you will see a reaction. In moments like this, you've got to trust what we've been doing. We can't just think, well, because one bad result, it's just a massive shift or a big change. The way we've performed and the way the lads have played, you know, and the tactic that's been used has served as well. We're always looking to tweak little things here and there, but we've got to trust what we're doing. We've got to trust each other.
I don't for a second expect any manager or coach in that situation to come out and say, yeah, we're panicking. We're definitely panicking. How concerning was Sunday? Would you put it down to be a one-off at the moment, or were there signs there that you think that could be repeated?
I'd put it down to be a one-off, and I think the Rangers manager's handled it very well. He's come out, made it known that he wasn't happy with the performance, attitude, everything about it. You hear Gary McAllister saying, yeah, we've had a chat about it, we've went over it. And I think he's just telling them, look, if you want to be champions, you've then got to up your game again. They've come back for the winter break, Gordon. Swinra, yes, there were so many changes. And then obviously against St Mirren, 1-0, still 3 points, most important thing. A lot of people complain about performance. Then they get through to Tynecastle. And you've got to give Hearts credit. I know we always say, well, Rangers didn't play well, didn't compete, didn't do this. But Hearts, they done everything that was asked of them, and they deserved their victory. I thought Boyce was terrific, but I think you'll see a response tomorrow night from Rangers.
The bigger picture, Roger, the impact this may or may not have on a title race.
Well, I would like to know what Rangers do during the month of January. Is it just a coincidence that having won the Old Firm game before the split last season, and there was all the hype through the month of January, and then they came out and fell flat at Kilmarnock and they never got the momentum back? This season, they won at Celtic Park before the split, and it was a 3-week period where everyone said, we have to make sure we don't make the same mistakes as last season. And they came out terribly sluggish against Stranraer on the Friday night, terribly sluggish against St Mirren last midweek, and then they lost the game at Tynecastle at the weekend. And as things stand, they don't look really any better than they did coming out the break 12 months ago. For Rangers, this is a huge game of football tomorrow night. It's a big game for Celtic at Perth, of course it is. I think tomorrow night's bigger for Rangers. Not only does Morelos come back in, they need Morelos to hit the ground running, because none of his teammates have hit the ground running since the split.
Craig is on the line calling in from Cumbernauld tonight. What's on your mind, Craig?
Hi, how are we doing, gents? I've got to say, you know, I agree totally with what both Roger and Gordon have been saying there. You know, it was not good enough. Rangers, and you could see it coming, because you know, when the Stranraer game, you know, 2-0 at home against a team like Stranraer, for me, even with the changes we made, with all due respect to them, this is a part-time team playing in League One. We should have blown them away, and we didn't. Then St Mirren, who, again, they deserve credit, St Mirren, because they did put up a good fight at Ibrox and they did defend fairly well, but again, it just wasn't we lacked, I felt, in all three of the games, a real danger man up front, a real focal point. The default was supposed to be that. And for whatever reason, over the last 270 minutes of football that we've played, he has just not been there for me. And this is the problem with not having a third striker, because you can't guarantee that Morelos won't get suspended again, because he does and has done, hopefully won't, but he's done stupid things, and also the referees in this country are all over Morelos like a rash because of that. You can't guarantee either that the fool himself wouldn't potentially get suspended or injured. So for me, that was the problem. When it wasn't working against Hearts, Gerrard didn't have any options behind him to take the fool off and bring on and put up front that would actually have caused a problem. And I mean, I saw it in the game against Kilmarnock before they played Celtic at home when they won 1-0. That was a sort of sluggish performance. Kilmarnock dug in, defended very deep, and we were not getting anywhere. Gerrard turns to the bench, brings Morelos on, and within a couple of minutes, Morelos has scored the goal that's won us the game. When you don't have that, it's a problem. And Celtic do. Well, Celtic have now got four options, actually, in strike-wise. They've got Edward, Griffiths, Klamala, and although Bayo has sort of disappeared, they still have him. We've only got the two, and for me, I don't think that's enough to be a title winning side.
Craig, I've got to say, since the window opened, I've said that Rangers, because people come on here and ask your opinion, what would you look to sign the transfer window? I said from day one to bring in another striker. Now, I get shot down in flames because I was told, well, they've got Morelos and Defoe, and if need be, Stewart can come on and play up front. I don't think that's enough, especially when you're going for a title this season. Now, to be fair, you've said about Defoe. To be fair to Defoe, he scored the goal that got 3 points against St Mirren, and it's a terrific goal, great movement. You've got to give him the right service. The ball over the top now, with about 20, 25 yards out for him to run onto against quick defenders, is no longer an option, I think, for Defoe. I don't think that's his strength. His strengths are, if you get balls from wide areas in, his movement is so clever. He doesn't need to be so quick. His movement's so good. He'll get on the end of things. But I totally agree with you. I would have signed a striker, and I know it's very, very hard to go and ask a striker now with a bit of quality. Look, we've got Morelos here, we've got Defoe there, but you've got to fight for your place. But there's strikers out there that's decent that could have come on at the weekend and given Defoe a break, and, you know, maybe added something different to the game for Rangers, that would gladly come to a club like Rangers. Gladly come.
For a couple of hundred thousand, would Rangers have signed Liam Boyce?
Well, Roger, we're going on the evidence. I thought Boyce was brilliant at the weekend. I thought he added so much to Hearts. Could he have came and added that same effect to Rangers? Possibly. And for the money. And plus the fact, let me tell you now, Boyce would have ran up the motorway to go and join Rangers. That's what I'm saying. That sort of a little, you know, added advantage of having someone just there to say, it's not working, we've not got Morelos' service today, we can change it.
Well, it might be more about players out in the coming days. Reports linking Jordan Jones and Brandon Barker with exits, but Gary McAllister says they will get their chance in the team if they impress in training. He says they're always on the hunt for new players.
We're continually looking. You know, clubs like Rangers and big clubs across the world are continually looking to improve. And at any given moment when an opportunity arises, we've got to be there and ready to strike. So that goes, you know, in this window, the next window, the summer, you know, it's an ongoing thing. We're always looking. There are two players that were brought here to try and make a difference, you know, to try and make us better. You know, it's very much the case that all the coaching staff wanted those guys there. They're two players who we thought could influence games when it's very, very tight. Recently, the pairing have been injured, and it's up to them to show the management, the manager and the management group, they've got to do more to get in that team. If they show in the training, they'll get an opportunity.
Do they have a future at Rangers, Roger? Rangers signed a lot of wingers in the summer, or they had a lot of wingers. Now they're not really playing with many, so you can see why so many of them are potentially going to be elsewhere.
Yeah, listen, that's the problem. And Jordan Jones caused a lot of his own problems with the red card and the injury in the first Old Firm game of this season. Up until the weekend, Ryan Kent and Joe Aribo had been two of Rangers' better players. Kent scored at the weekend. Aribo probably should have scored to make it 2-0, if you remember, at Tynecastle, not long after Kent scored the opening goal. So it has been difficult for Jones and for Barker as well. Scott Arfield's been used in that position. Greg Stewart did quite well. He came on and scored some goals pre-Christmas. Shea Ojo is there as well. Jake Hastie's back at the club today. Remember him, Gordon? He's come back to Rangers
as
well.
What do you read into that? And I appreciate some of this might have to be guesswork. Is that because they're going to try and loan him out somewhere else?
Look at the two of you. You're all excited at the prospect of him going to Motherwell.
Not at all.
Look
at you. I was actually going to suggest more about the future of Jones and Barker. Can you connect those issues?
I think, Roger, if you're going to get rid of, well, put Barker and Jones out, whether it's loan or permanent, then you've got to cover yourself again. So you've got to cover their positions, because I think that the Rangers fans will agree just now, Ojo's not doing anything. He's not contributing. So you're leaving yourself a bit short. Now, I don't know, is Hastie ready for that? Me personally, I don't think so, Gordon.
Let's get a take from Jason in Paisley, see what he thinks about Rangers personnel at the moment. Hi, Jason.
Hi, good evening, panel. How are we doing?
Good,
hi,
Jason.
Hi, good. Listen, I just thought it was glaring and obvious watching the game on Sunday. Obviously, my Rangers fan, extremely disappointed, but I think there's a real, real gap when Alfredo Morelos is not starting. And I just thought the fluidity, I just thought they didn't get going. And I'm really, it's going to be, it could real damage us through the season, at the end of the season, that we've not went and as parts with a striker. I think even going and getting the boy at Aberdeen, Grosgrove, going to break the bank to win the league, it's just really, really disappointing Sunday. Mm.
I suppose, Jason, when you, and it is hard to predict, I don't know what Morelos' disciplinary situation will hold between now and May. The problem is, you mentioned breaking the bank. I don't know what Sam Cosgrove would cost. A few million pounds, I would imagine, is what Aberdeen would be looking for. How often are these guys really going to play? I know it's easy at the moment. It's fresh in your mind. You could have been doing with another striker on Sunday. But between now and May, how often is Morelos and Defoe both going to be unavailable or not at it?
But not just that, but I think, listen, the wee man Defoe's been absolutely outstanding, but I felt watching the game, I think he looked off, not off the pace, but I think, let's say he cost Crosscore money, but he, I'm sure if you went to Aberdeen or you went to the boy, he would jump at the chance to maybe come and play at Rangers, and he could probably see, understand he might not get the amount of games he's looking for at the moment, but nobody knows what the future is for Morelos at the end of the season. But if you're going to go and win the title, and go and win the title that we've not done for such a long time, surely you must be looking at players at Crosscrove to add that extra bit of quality. I just felt Defoe's done brilliant and he's been a stopgap, but I don't think him and Morelos, if we'll go and win the league, I think we need a third striker, and I think that could be the downfall.
Where I disagree with you, if you keep Morelos and Defoe fit, then I think
available.
Then I think you've got a great chance to win the league. I don't think Defoe had his greatest game the weekend. But once again, I'll go down and say this: he's 37, 38 Gordon. He's just signed a new contract. Took a big wage cut to stay at Rangers because of what he thinks about the club, and obviously what the club think about him. The one thing about Defoe is, and he'll never stop doing it until he retires, you put the balls that he needs from the wide areas into certain areas in the box, he will score you goals. Guaranteed. Yes, Morelos is a big miss, but if you keep the two fit and available, Gordon, as you said, then I just think there's a third striker there in case anything happens. I wouldn't see a Cosgrove coming in and overtaking any of the two just now, because they are goal scorers.
And I can't see
Cosgrove, to be fair, his goals to games up here is fantastic.
Two things that would go against the Cosgrove argument. One, I can't see Aberdeen doing business with Rangers at this time of season for a guy who scored, was it 38 or 39 goals through the calendar year of 2019 for Aberdeen. And I'm not sure Sam Cosgrove is necessarily the type to fit into that system. You know, Aberdeen play a different way and that works for Cosgrove. I'm not sure Cosgrove's the type who would necessarily complement the system that Rangers play.
Jason and Paisley, it was good to hear from you. Hopefully speak to you again soon. We're going to get some travel with Stephen, which means this is the ideal time to get your call in. 01419511025, and we could be speaking to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hanna is here, Gordon Dale is alongside him, and they're waiting for your call. So get in touch, 01419511025. and Twitter is at Clyde SSB, which is where Mikey raises a decent point, Roger, just from before the break. He says, I thought Hasty couldn't be loaned out again. He's played for Rangers before he was loaned out. I thought a player could only play for two teams in a single season.
The two Motherwell fans now crestfallen that he's not heading back to Fir Park.
Do you think high-flying third-placed Motherwell need him?
Well, if you listen to Stephen Robinson, he's crying out for attacking options now after a few injuries, losing Devante Cole.
Yeah. I think he's more of a number nine in the DL mould he's looking for. Maybe one that moves a bit more.
This is how much a Motherwell fan I am. I was up watching training today.
Were you?
Yeah. I was up seeing the lads, cheering them on, saying, listen, keep it going. Yeah. Fantastic
job.
Did
you have the number nine away shirt on and the name in the back?
Such a big fan that he said to me when I came in, he goes, I was watching them running. What a shift they put in. I didn't recognise the guy that was at the front, but you should have seen the speed of him. That's exactly what he said to me. Anyway,
the captain.
Right, 01419511025. There is a big game tonight. There are a couple of big games. One in particular which stands out is the Scottish Cup replay between Hibs and Dundee United. A big game in its own right and fascinating for the people at BSC Glasgow, the Lowland League side, through to the next round and awaiting the winner of this one. Hibs have got Marciano in goals tonight, a back four of James, Jackson, Hanlon and Stevenson. Whittaker in midfield again with Joe Newell. Then Boyle and Horgan out wide. Allen just in behind Christian Doige. For Dundee United, Sigrist in goal. We've got Liam Smith, Powers, Connolly, Reynolds, Pollitt, Robson, Butcher, Harks, Aperi, and that man Lawrence Shankland. Big game.
Yeah,
at Easter Road.
Good game.
First game was a cracker.
First game was a very good game, very entertaining. I thought Dundee United, deserved the replay, Gordon. Sometimes you say that the Championship teams don't get two cracks at the Premier League team. You've got to really take it. But this is different. Dundee United have got a good squad. They pay good money. They've got a goal scorer of Shankland's quality up there that can win games for you. They've got decent players in the middle of the park as well, and defence. They've got a terrific goalkeeper. It'll be a hard game for Jack Ross and Hibs tonight. I think it'll be another good game.
I think he could go all the way. I wouldn't be surprised if it went right to penalties. Hibs, they've not been great since the winter break. You know, they're probably in the worst end of a 0-0 draw at Fir Park at the weekend. They needed to come from behind to beat Hamilton at home last midweek. So they have huffed and puffed a little bit. They've obviously got injury problems. Jason Naismith, Ryan Porteous, out for lengthy periods of time. So I don't think it's a given just because they're back at Easter Road that they'll knock out the Championship.
Let's hear from both managers, starting with the home boss, Jack Ross.
You know, we knew how tough a match it was going to be for us in the first game. I was delighted with how we played. Coming back off the winter break and a tie, I think, that a lot of people had predicted might be the one that caused an upset. So just frustrated that we didn't turn the performance into the win, but we know that if we can replicate large parts of that performance, we're a difficult team to play against. You know, we carry an attacking threat that scores a lot of time and creates. So players are in a good place. I think that I was at pains to point that out at the weekend, both before and after the game, that in terms of league form, we're up there with, you know, just tucked in behind Rangers, Celtic and Motherwell, who've had all these plaudits. So players need to take confidence from that and keep growing that belief that they're a good side.
Up against Robbie Nielsen tonight.
I thought in the first game that we were waiting to see how hard they were going to punch. I think we were uncertain of, you know, what level we were at, because we've obviously been in the Championship, we're doing really well. I thought we kind of bobbed and weaved a wee bit as opposed to, you know, showing our full strength. So I thought after about 15-20 minutes, probably losing the goal allowed us to have a wee bit more freedom. You know, I thought after 15-20 minutes we started to realise that, you know, we can match this here and we can compete. So I'm hoping that, you know, going to Easter Road, right from the start, we can be more confident that we can compete at that level.
John is a Celtic fan in the East End. What's your point tonight, John?
Hi, Gordon and Roger.
Hello, John.
Just a point. See the two guys in Celtic I've seen, right? The boy Soro and the boy...
Klamala.
Klamala, right? Now, Leonard's coming out and he's saying that he's quite happy that might well be the end of the signing for this transfer window. But we all know that we need a striker, we need a backup to Edward. Possibly Griffiths can do it, but tends to fall out of games, which is obviously what happened at the weekend there. We don't really have any other cover. And then this boy Soros coming into the midfield, we all know we need defence. So why are they signing, why are they spending £5 million on people who are probably not going to get a game?
Well, John, I think Klamala is one of the backup strikers that you're talking about. Griffiths is back playing. I totally agree. I didn't think he looked particularly sharp at the weekend, but he's got 2 goals in 3 games, and he'll be delighted with that. More to come. You've got Edward that comes on and finishes off the game. He'll start when he's obviously when the big games come around and he's 100% fit. You've got Bio. Yes, we can argue that he's not hit the ground running, but he's available. So when you look at the Celtic squad just now, they've actually got 4 strikers, so I don't think they'll sign another striker.
John, why would Celtic sign another striker? They only tend to play with one. I know they moved it up to 2 last midweek, but you know they have 4 of them. One of them's just a new signing. Why would you still need another one?
No, I'm not saying we should buy another striker. What I'm saying is the money they've spent on him. Well, Gordon, you say that there's Bio, there's Griffiths, there's Edward. So why buy another one? Okay, I know he's been on the bench, but Saturday would have been the ideal opportunity to throw him on when Griffiths wasn't doing it. Because you know, instead of taking the risk of playing Edward, when he might know actually, you know what I mean? It might have, okay, if he won, scored 2 goals, great, brilliant, we won the match. Better than we did at 1-0, obviously. But surely Saturday would have been the opportunity to throw this guy on.
No, John might well be right, and I know other people who agreed, Roger, but at the same time, 2 games into a 4.5-year deal, it's probably a bit early to be desperately wondering where Klamala is and why he's not been brought on.
Yeah,
I mean, it's extremely early.
Listen, you played some audio with Gary McAllister a few minutes ago when he said no one at Rangers will panic. And Neil Lennon and Scott Brown, I think, both used that phrase after the defeat to Rangers on the 29th of December. There'll be no panic at Celtic. And there haven't been any panic signings in the month of January. They've stuck to basically the Celtic template for signing players. Signing young players for a certain fee in the belief that those players will develop their careers at Celtic Park and Celtic will be able to sell the players for inflated fees later on. So Klamala, 21 years of age, is in for $3.5 million. And over the period of the next 4.5 years or less, Celtic will hope he gets in the team, scores goals, develops, and he can sell him. He may well be the long-term replacement for Edward, and then they need to go and try and find someone as the long-term replacement for Klamala after that. The lad Soros come in, 21 years of age. As Neil Lennon said at the top of the show, he's not even been playing for one of the biggest teams in Israel. So he'll be a distance away from where Brown, McGregor and Ncham are. But the belief is he'll be able to develop his career at Celtic. He might be the next Scott Brown. He might be the next Olivier Ncham, the next Callum McGregor. So that's the idea of why they've come in.
I was surprised, Roger, I've got to say. You're talking about it takes time. He put him on against Partick Thistle and he just arrived. I thought it was the perfect timing on Saturday. Edward's done the business. The game's finished. You paid $3 million for a guy. Get him on. Give him 15 minutes. Get him used to it.
No, that's the thing.
But he brought Dembele in.
I'm not arguing that. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I just wonder how big a deal it really is at this moment in time. Does it really matter in the grand scheme of things?
Right now, it doesn't matter, Gordon. But I thought, like the caller, John, I thought it was a great opportunity for a boy.
John in the East End, thank you very much. But we have to leave it there because it's time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to take on Gordon DL, take on Roger Hanna, and walk away with a signed ball and the obvious bragging rights as well. If you fancy it tonight, if you think you're up to it, give us a call right now. 0141 951 1025. You have to be quick because the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL are here. We kicked off tonight hearing from Neil Lennon on Celtic's transfer window. Similar discussion around Rangers. But of course, the focus there really is trying to bounce back from Sunday's defeat. So if you've got any thoughts on the above, keep them coming in as well. And remember, in about 15 to 20 minutes time, you're going to have to listen carefully because we've got your chance again. We're doing this every night this week to win a pair of hospitality tickets to the SPFL match of your choice, subject to availability, with a very, very simple game of higher or lower. So you don't want to miss out. Keep your ears open for that one, and we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Huge news in the Beat the Pundit world. Gordon Dalziel got his first defeat since September on Thursday night, I believe.
Yeah, you had
an absolute nightmare.
I didn't recognise myself. My bottle went. All the things that were said in
Mark Wilson was waiting for you to blink and you blinked.
I blinked big time, but I thought I was sort of a cheater out of a draw.
Nonsense. Let's see what type of reaction we get tonight. If it is you, Tony from Motherwell is on the line. This is brilliant because you can definitely take the ball to Tony when he beats you tonight. How are you, Tony?
Not too bad, Gordon, yourself?
Yeah, not too bad at all. Tony, we're waiting. We're just waiting to see if someone can come on and beat Roger Hanna with his minus one. Do you think it's about time I moved him to minus two?
Well, if I'm going to take on Roger, then I'd rather he didn't have minus one. I'd rather take him on.
I actually think it should be a Motherwell derby tonight, Tony, and Dan's can personally deliver the ball.
The coin decides, I'm afraid. Heads, it is Roger. Tails, it's Gordon. And it is as well. Tails, Tony against...
He just made that up there.
No, he didn't.
Okay.
Tony against Gordon.
Good luck, Tony.
This is a local derby.
Where are you from, Tony? Motherwell?
Yep.
Your windies are going in tonight if you beat me.
He just kicked the sign ball through it when he beat you.
What do you mean if I beat you?
I'm going to give Gordon some Clyde 2 to listen to. He can't hear us anymore, Tony, so it's just you and I. You have 30 seconds head to head with Gordon. You can pass. So if you don't know it, pass it and move quickly on, okay?
Yep.
Good man, Tony. Your time starts now. What age is Celtic's new signing is Myla Sorrell?
21.
Which Scottish international currently plays for Bournemouth?
Ryan Fraser.
What nationality is St Mirren's new signing Peter Urminski?
German.
Which former Scotland international is the manager of Salford City?
Pass.
Who did Rangers sign Greg Stewart from?
Aberdeen.
Apart from Shrewsbury, name an English side that Jason Cummings has played for.
Pass.
What year of the noughties did Derek McInnes get his two Scotland caps? What year of the noughties? Okay, let's bring him back. Gordon, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Tony's on fire, by the way. You
fire.
Have a serious job to do, ready?
Come on, eh?
What age is Celtic's new signing is Myla Sorrell?
21.
Which Scottish international currently plays for Bournemouth?
Ryan Fraser.
What nationality is new St Mirren signing Peter Urminski?
Slovakian.
Which former Scotland international is manager of Salford City?
Pass, can't remember.
Who did Rangers sign Greg Stewart from?
Birmingham.
Apart from Shrewsbury, name an English side that Jason Cummings has played for.
Nottingham Forest.
What year of the noughties did Derek McInnes get his two Scotland caps?
Noughties, two.
Sorry? Two?
Aye.
You giving him that, Roger?
Well, let's see how the scoring goes.
Okay, let's find out. How do you think, Tony? You feeling confident?
Not really, no.
Oh, not really.
Oh, well, forget that last one.
It's full of the talk before it, but sometimes when the questions come out, you get change of perspective. No, I just think they were quite tough. What age is new Celtic signing is Myla Sorrell? He is 21. You both knew it. Scottish international at Bournemouth, Ryan Fraser. You both knew it. The nationality of St Mirren's new signing, Peter Urminski. He is Slovakian.
Boof.
How did you know that?
Boof. There's one for you, Tony.
Do you think if I got a map in here, you could point to Slovakia?
Absolutely no chance. But
a map
I do
in here,
they
couldn't point to Motherwell.
What former Scotland international is the manager of Salford City, Roger?
Graham Alexander.
So
Graham Alexander. So it's 3-2 to Gordon at this moment in time. Who did Rangers sign Greg Stewart from? Tony, that was a sneaky one. I did play for Aberdeen, but he was a Birmingham player. He was only on loan. So Gordon gets it right, I'm afraid. 4-2. Apart from Shrewsbury, name an English side Jason Cummings has played for. You had the choice of Luton, Peterborough or Nottingham Forest. So Gordon gets that one right. So it's 5-2.
See you later, Tony.
And I'm not giving you it because I'm...
What was it?
It was 2002.
That's what I said.
But you just say two. I just don't like it.
Of course it's 2002.
You said it in that Dora accent again.
I'll tell you what, I don't even want it. There you go.
Yeah, you're not getting it anyway.
Put it aside.
You don't need it.
Exactly.
So, Tony, what's your second name from Motherwell?
I'm not telling you.
I'm driving by your house tonight. Where are you? Whereabouts in Motherwell?
I'll get you in Jack Daniels.
All right. See that one, Tony. Oh, I'm going to beat him.
That sounds ominous for you because he did just happen to name the closest pub to your house.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not official, it's not called that anymore, but that's how the Motherwell locals
that
remember
still
it.
Works.
So, and it's very close to your. So I think Tony knows. I think Tony knows exactly where to find you.
Tony's. Well, I'll find Tony. I'll be searching for him. And by the way, I'll be searching for you without a ball.
He's keeping his cards close to his chest, Tony. Didn't want anyone who knows to know who he was. So thank you to Tony Clark from Motherwell for playing Pete the Pundit tonight.
Shiva, they went to a dead heat there. Would you have given me 2002?
Maybe.
You would have.
Think
come
of
on.
It as part of an education process. I want you to learn how to act, how to properly say the name of
but
years.
But you've got to be quick. It's not got to be, you know, anything else, is it really?
It's really come simple. On, I can't understand why you don't do it. What year of the noughties? Just say just say 2002.
What year did you score in the League Cup final? 4.
Exactly.
Oh, 4. 9-4. Exactly.
No, what do you mean exactly? He's arguing against you.
Look, I didn't need it anyway.
Right, yes,
so
you're right. I know. You won in the end. Thank you to Tony for taking part. Your chance to beat the pundit tomorrow night at the same time. And don't forget, in about 10-15 minutes, that chance for you to win those tickets to an SPFL match of your choice. Just before we take another call, I wanted to talk about something that's extremely important, because sometimes we get all a bit hit up in the aftermath of games, and sometimes things come along and put everything into perspective. So it's nice to see Scottish clubs coming together paying tribute to footballer Jordan Sinnott, who died after being attacked over the weekend. You may have seen this story on social media or on the news. Now Celtic, Rangers, Kilmarnock are all amongst those who've donated shirts with Sinnott 25 on the back, which will be displayed at the funeral before donating them to Sport Relief. So we've been speaking to his half-brother Justin Gardner. He says Jordan was football mad, and he's hoping that other clubs will follow suit.
Jordan, he was a character. He always had a smile on his face, always laughing and joking. He was just a really great guy, and he done what every wee boy wants to become and become a footballer, and he achieved that. And to me, I looked up to him, and I'll certainly miss him. But the thing is, he played for quite a few teams, and every team he went to, he was loved by so many people, and everybody's just come out and said such good things about him. And Harry Maguire was one of the first people to come out and give us a condolences wish to all the family, and he was one of the first to send over a shirt. Of course, Jordan being a football player, he's got good friends, and Matt Crooks and Josh Windass, and they've kind of rallied round all the players and down south to get shirts, and I think there's been over 100 sent down, which has been fantastic. Josh Windass used to play with Rangers, so he'd spoke to a few of the guys at Rangers, and they've sorted that out. And then Celtic got back to me, and they're going to make one for me as well to take down, which is quite nice. So we're really just hoping for any shirt from any level, that's from boys club up to professional, with just his name Sinnott and 25 on the back. And it was just going to a great cause, just to show everyone at the funeral how big a football fan he was. And obviously them going to Sport Relief after, so a kid to have my brother's name on the back that they'd never know who he is just, it's quite remarkable actually, and it's a really nice thing. So we're just hoping for anything, and anything that's donated is greatly appreciated, and we thank them very much for any donations.
A real tragedy that, Roger. Clearly not at this moment in time one for us to discuss what happened or anything, but a tragic story, everyone can agree on that. And it's nice to see our clubs are amongst those just doing what they can, a very small gesture, yeah, to try and make a bit of difference.
It's a terrible loss, first and foremost, for Jordan's family and friends. A very difficult time for them all, but clearly they want some good to come out of this. If some money can be raised for a very good cause in Sport Relief, and it can be raised in Jordan's memory, then maybe some good can come of these terrible events of the last few days.
Yes, so like we say, just something that puts football into perspective a little bit at a time. So we thought we'd bring you that, the thoughts of Justin Gardner, who is Jordan's half-brother. As you can hear, Justin local to us, and hoping that as many Scottish clubs as possible can get involved. So if anyone's listening and they want us to act as a sort of middleman, pass on the details, feel free to get in touch and we'll see what we can do. If you want to get in touch on the phones tonight though, it's 0141 951 1025 at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Kenny is a Hearts fan on the line. Have you come down off the ceiling yet, Kenny?
No, I'm still stuck to it. Thanks, Gordon. Evening, Gordon and Roger.
Hi, Kenny.
It didn't sound to do, Gordon. Listen, no, yous have given me a pounding for the last few weeks about the way Hearts predicament and everything like that, but I think you said about Hearts raising their game when the Old Firm come to town and that. At the same time then, you can't say when we actually raised our game and beat them, you can't say, oh, Rangers were bad, that was terrible play, 8 of them were missing. Stephen Gerrard saying that he didn't recognise the players. I mean, he named them only an hour and a half before the game, you know what I mean? And he didn't recognise them. I think credit should go where it goes, and I think Hearts played fantastic on Sunday, to be honest.
I can't disagree with you, Kenny. I think sometimes we get caught up with the fact that the minute, like say Rangers lose or Celtic lose, we go, oh, below par, they didn't play well, we criticise the defence, middle of par, no Morelos there on Sunday. I think all the credit's got to go to Hearts. I thought they played very well. I was impressed with a couple of the new signings that's come in. I thought Boyce was terrific. I really did. I thought he was terrific. So I think that, Kenny, you're right, we've given you a bit of a hard time for weeks now, and I think that sometimes you got a pat on the back and well done, but you've got to keep it up. It's okay doing it against Rangers and taking all the pats in the back and all the encouragement. You've got, I think, who's the next game? Is it St Johnstone away or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's because the atmosphere's not going to be the same as obviously Sunday. So you've got to, you know, go and build on this performance now and get another positive result. But Kenny, you keep phoning in, and well done to the Jambo.
Right, Kenny, I want you to interrupt when I say something that you disagree with, right? I saw Hearts a few times in the first half of the season. Absolutely rank rotten. The worst team in the Premiership by a distance, and they deserve to be 5 points adrift at the winter break. I then saw them week passing Saturday against Airdrie, and they looked at, listen, no, I'm not going to say, you know, Airdrie are only a League One team, blah, blah, blah. They looked transformed. Naismith was back and dragged the team along with him. He's as important to Hearts as Morelos is to Rangers or Edward is to Celtic. Suter was back alongside Halkett. There was a bit more pace at the back. The young lad Irving was in. The young lad Henderson, the young lad Moore, all brought more pace and energy to the team than the likes of Glenn Whelan, who's gone out the team. And come that Sunday there, by that stage, Stendhal had added Liam Boyce to give you a bigger goal threat and added the lad Sibbick at the back. So in a short period of time from the disasters pre-break, I think the manager's turned it around very cleverly. Prior to the Airdrie team, when we saw the team announcement, Hugh Keevan said, this is going to go either one of two ways. It's either going to be a genius stroke or it's going to be a real own goal. It looks as if the changes he's made have been very, very clever changes.
Very much so, Roger. And I think that I've just noticed on one of the mail posts earlier that apparently Neil Lennon has said that Craig Gordon can leave before the window closes. So that might be an interesting wee move that interests somebody Hearts.
Well, I was wanting to keep an eye on Roger. I don't think he mentioned it today during his press conference, did he?
No, I don't think it was mentioned at Celtic Park. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Wouldn't surprise me. I think Craig is out of contract at Celtic come the end of the season. Fraser Forster, clearly first choice there. So I don't know. I actually thought the last two or three times I've seen him, I thought Pereira looked a bit better as well. He's maybe just more confident, Kenny, playing behind Halkett and Suter and, you know, Sean Clare, who has come on leaps and bounds at right back in recent games as well. Pereira, maybe having had that more solid defence, maybe looks better in goal.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny is right. If you just take a quick look at social media, I hadn't done so in the last 15 minutes. So, yeah, there is various suggestions about Craig Gordon and Hearts. So you never know. That's one to watch in the coming weeks. Thank you very much to Kenny in Airdrie. I mean, Liam Boyce Gordon is what, it's one game. Not want to dive in on a conclusion, but clearly looks like a real asset to Hearts.
I think for Hearts it's one game. I know what Roger's saying against Airdrie, right? But they go to Ross County 0-0. Is that a decent enough result? Probably is. A point up there, the way they were going. I thought Boyce, I thought he was terrific. When you play in a team, your front men are so important. They dictate where you really play most of the game. If you can get the ball up to your front men, they can take it in, they can get the fouls, they can hold the ball up. It allows everybody to get up the pitch. It really does. I think his work rate for a team was brilliant. I thought his link-up play was good. I thought he deserved his goal. He looked like at one point he was going to go off the pitch, Gordon. But I thought Hearts as a team looked a lot better. But I'm not like everyone else just now. I'm not getting carried away with Sunday, because they are a team that possibly could go to St Johnstone at the weekend and slip up again. But they have to keep it going. Consistency is so important. Did it look better? Yes, it did. Were they more organised? Yes, they were. Did they have a bigger threat? Yes. Naismith, you're right. Boyce, terrific. The lad, I can't remember who was his name. But I thought he was terrific, played in a few positions. So there's positive signs there for Kenny and Hearts fans, but they've got to do it consistently now.
I can't overemphasise the importance of Naismith to the team, though. He just lifts the whole team. You talk about earlier on about Scott Brown shouting at Julian during the game at Celtic Park on Saturday. Naismith coaxes, cajoles, shouts, screams, niggles all of his teammates, and he drags them along with him. Even in that Airdrie, and I don't mean to belittle Airdrie as a, you know, the team from League One, even in that game he was head and shoulders above the rest and taking all these young guys with him, and he did the same again. He dropped into midfield laterally because of all the injuries against Rangers on Sunday. He is crucial. They need to keep
Gordon
him fit.
Just quickly, Roger, sorry, can I just, before she goes to bed, wish my wee granddaughter a happy first birthday party, She was had a wee party this afternoon, absolutely in great form. She says, Papa, I'll wait up till the back of seven. Listen, because you're my favourite pundit and you will win, beat the pundit. I know, I'm so confident. That's why the pressure was on tonight. She was listening, so happy first birthday.
Does she want a signed ball for her first birthday?
No, she doesn't. Right, okay.
Looked a lovely cake.
Roger, it was absolutely fantastic. I had a little bit on the way in. Yeah. I was going to bring you a bit in, but I was a bit too greedy, to be honest.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard and Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play. Bag a winning result. Please gamble responsibly.
Right, this is good fun. We kicked it off last night. The Ladbrokes transfer window is now open, and with it comes your chance to win VIP hospitality for two with Ladbrokes and their 1-2-3 promotion. All you have to do is call 0141 951 1025 right now. You come on, play a very simple game of higher or lower, get three in a row, and you will be away to the game of your choice, subject to availability. Now call that number right now before this break ends to play with Ladbrokes and their 1-2-3 promotion. 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
We are about to play the Ladbrokes transfer window, but let's quickly give Gordon Dale and Roger Hanna the teaser. Give them something to work on while you guys are trying to win the tickets. This one's been sent in, as always, on a Tuesday by John Smith. Really, really tough tonight. I say that every week, but I mean it. Since, well, 11 Scots have gone directly from Scotland's lower leagues to playing in the English Premier League. Can you name them? This is really tough. Going to require some good knowledge of this. 11 Scots have gone directly from Scotland's lower league to playing in the English Premier League.
Right, so Andy Robertson's not one.
He is not one,
because he went Dundee United.
Exactly. This is important.
English Premier League era.
Yeah.
So 92, yes. 93.
The right. Other thing that I want to hammer home is, I know often we do sort of football nationality, but this is Scots as in born in Scotland.
So that's Scots born in Scotland.
Scots born in Scotland. 11 of them have gone directly from the lower leagues to playing in the English Premier League. Really tough. Really,
I can't
really
think
tough.
No,
I'll just leave it with you.
Okay.
Because it's important that we do this.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard and Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play. Bag a winning result. Please gamble responsibly.
Yes, it is time for the Ladbrokes transfer window. It's now open, and we're giving you the chance to win VIP hospitality for two with Ladbrokes and their 1-2-3 promotion. All you have to do is play a simple game of higher or lower. Get three right in a row and you're away to the game of your choice, subject to availability. So let's meet tonight's first contestant. He is Dom, just along the road in Clydebank. How are you tonight, Dom?
Aye, fine, yes.
Now, did you hear this last night, Dom?
I listened in last night, aye.
Right, so you should know roughly the way it works, but just as a refresher, it couldn't be simpler. It's just higher or lower with transfer fees. I'm going to start you off with a transfer fee, and we're going to do higher or lower from there on in, and if you get three right in a row, you are the winner. That makes sense?
That's fine, aye.
Good man. If anybody cares, just for any pedants out there, these just to keep it simple, the transfer fees were all taken from Transfer Market's website. So it's just a bit, it's just a bit of fun. It's just a game. Don't phone us up and say, actually, you're 100 grand out on the transfer. That's not the way it's meant to work. Just a game. Anyway, so Dom, your starting point tonight is this. Jan Venegar of Hesselink, from PSV to Celtic, he's gone down as a £4.4 million transfer, okay? So
right,
the next one, you need to go higher or lower. Oddson Edouard from PSG to Celtic, was it higher or lower than 4.4 million?
It was higher.
It was indeed 9.27 million. So 9.27 million higher or lower than the next one, Marc-Antoine Fortuny from Nancy to Celtic. Was that higher or lower than Odson Edouard's 9.27?
That was lower.
It was indeed 3.96 million. You're nearly there. You only need one more. The next one is Barry Ferguson from Blackburn to Rangers. Was it higher or lower than Marc-Antoine Fortuny's 3.96 million?
That would be higher.
It was higher, 6.53. Well done, first contestant. You've smashed it, 100% record, Dom, and you are the winner of the VIP hospitality tickets. Well done to you. Happy with that?
I'm happy as Larry.
Good man, Dom. Will you stay on the line? Producer Andy will get your details, and my apologies to everyone else who was lined up in the queue. You came behind Dom, who knew his stuff. Easy as that, Gordon. Not a bad prize as well.
Terrific prize, and I thought that was wasn't the hardest. John Smith to do them next.
Yeah. Last night the first contestant couldn't get them. We had to go on, and we will just keep going until we get a winner. But Dom was formidable tonight. He was on 100% record, 3 out of 3, and he is the winner. So make sure you do join us on tomorrow night's show. We're going to be playing it again, and we'll have your chance not only tomorrow but Thursday and Friday as well. Tomorrow is Wednesday, and that's what actually caught me up there. I was trying to remember which day of the week it was. Never a good sign. Right, 01419511025. I'll quickly revisit this teaser. How are you doing on it so far? I think this is one of the more difficult ones we've had. When I look through the names, we're looking for 11 Scots who've gone directly from playing in Scotland's lower leagues to playing in the English Premier League. Scots born in Scotland, and just again to be clear, actually going to a Premier League team is not enough. They have to have played.
Right. It's not Scotland lower. It's lower leagues. Yeah.
So yes.
Right. Okay.
As opposed to,
I thought it was the lower league, the lowest league in Scotland. Right. I've got it wrong.
Beneath the Prem.
Right. Anything beneath the top.
Right.
Flight.
I'm now on. I've got it.
Go then.
I signed one. Gary Teal.
No.
He went from Air United and played with Wigan in the Premier League.
Yeah, but when he went to Wigan, they weren't in the Premier League.
Right, I'm not getting this question, am I?
Straight into the Premier League. What about Jay?
He went straight to the Premier League.
What about Jay Fulton?
This is really going to annoy you. He was born in England.
Was he really?
He was. But I mean, you're on the right lines.
Goodness me.
That's a great shout. But
I
he was born in England.
That batch of Falkirk kids.
Good idea.
Stephen Kingsley.
Yes, went from Falkirk to Swansea. Stephen Kingsley is the first one. He's also the most recent.
There was a couple of other lads of that kind of era. Connor McGrandles.
No. He's the only one from that batch, and he is the most recent. Some of these are really tough.
I think he was in the Prem before he went. What about John McGinn?
No, because he also went to, well, he went to the Championship. Yeah, Villa were in the Championship when he went there.
Back in the day, Alec Mathey.
Shout.
Hugo Morton to Newcastle.
He did, well done. Alec Mathey, great shout that is.
Another striker of that era, Alan Smart. No. The only one I was thinking of, I was thinking of the likes of McCarthy and MacArthur. I'm sure they were in the top flight before they left Hamilton. Mm-hmm. What about Brian Easton, Hamilton to Burnley?
No, it would be the same, I think. Anyway, so you've got 2 of the 10. Not too bad at all. If you even get the 10, I will be impressed. It's a really tough question tonight. 11 Scots have gone directly from Scotland's lower leagues to playing in the English Premier League. Guys like Stephen Kingsley from Falkirk to Swansea, Alec Mathey from Morton to Newcastle. Let's see what you're made of on Twitter with that one. I know there's some great knowledge out there. Just how good though? At Clyde SSB. Quick, one more, go.
What about Tony Gallagher?
No.
Made his debut for Liverpool the
Not in league. The Premier League, he didn't though.
Oh, so it needs to be isolated to play in the league, right?
Okay, let's leave that one there for now. Mark is in Uddingston. As a Celtic fan, Mark, what's on your mind tonight?
How are you doing, panel? Good evening.
Good, thanks, Mark.
The first point is really just regarding Celtic in general. I just still think we lack a bit of physicality in our team. And I would love to see us bringing in a kind of target man, a Glenn Murray type, you know, before the transfer window shuts. It's the same. I feel Steven Gerrard has turned the old firm game back into a battle again, and I just feel as if Celtic are lacking in that department. I've just got one other point after that.
On that first one, Mark, do you fear that that ship has sailed though? The fact that Patrick Klamala's came in, I know you may want a Glenn Murray type. Can you really see it happening though, another striker between now and the end of the week?
Well, why not on loan to the end of the season? I mean, he's not got his game for Brighton. I think the manager's already said that he'd be willing to let him go out on loan, and that kind of presence, that kind of plan B, if you like, that I feel Celtic been lacking for a long time, not just this season, you know, and I would like to more kind of powerful midfield type as well. It's easier said than done,
yeah.
I get that.
Gordon, I don't know. I certainly don't know how Neil Lennon or the Celtic hierarchy work, but it would be a big surprise to see another striker now, would it not?
No chance. Absolutely no chance. I'd be astonished if Celtic brought in another striker. I think that department is closed. I think the middle of the park now with Sorrow coming is closed. I don't know if Celtic will do any more business. They might look at maybe another defender, Gordon. I wouldn't be surprised with that.
A right-sided winger?
Maybe. You've got Forrest there. I've got to say, and for a couple of games at Forrest, there was something, you know, Celtic can change their formations. They can go to that three at the back with two wing-backs with Forrest, maybe if he was injured or whatever. And I've got to say, young Dembele come on and lit up Celtic Park at the weekend. I know he's a young boy, I know he's 16. I wouldn't be afraid to throw him into the odd game. I think he can handle it no problem. Yeah, they could go and add a bit of strength to the wing, the winger department. But me personally, I think they've got enough players just now. But if they were bringing one more in, I would look at the defence.
On you go, Mark.
No, just on that point there, I think James Forrest played his best football when he had Patrick Roberts pushing him on the right hand side. A lot of James Forrest detractors out there, and I can be one of them at times, and doesn't turn up for certain games, but I feel as if he's better than he's pushed, I suppose, like every other player. But that's not really my second point, was regarding Steven Gerrard's comments after the game at the weekend. That was music to my ears as a Celtic fan, if you ask me, and I wonder if that's why Gary McAllister took the press conference today. And I think that's Gerrard showing his inexperience as a manager, because he's too honest at times for his own good to come out and absolutely rip his team to shreds like that. Yeah, emotions are running high, but I think that's him showing a wee bit of inexperience from a managerial point of view. And you see him, Neil Lennon, saying, oh, we might be happy, you know, if that's what I've got, that's what I've got. Whereas, you know, deep down, Lennon's basically saying, well, if we get somebody in, that's fine, but he's not going to rock the boat. He's not going to, you know, make kind of silly statements, if you like. And I think, to me, listening to Steven Gerrard's interview, that yeah, he could call his bottlers, call us this. I know he's calling his team out, but in this snowflake era, I don't know if that's going to work.
I wouldn't read too much into Gary McAllister being there today. It's quite common when they've got so many games midweek Saturday, Rangers do tend to mix up. Some other clubs do it as well. But the other point, Roger.
Well, listen, this isn't the first time in Steven Gerrard's 100 games that Rangers haven't played particularly well, and he's tended not to have a go at them. I think all managers pick and choose when to have a pop. I certainly know Neil Lennon does it in the past, Derek McInnes, all the managers do it. And Steven Gerrard clearly felt Sunday afternoon was the right time to have a pop at his players. It had maybe been building up, Mark, in him. You know, he couldn't have been happy. He said he was bored the game at Stranraer the previous Friday night. I'm sure he wasn't taken on by the display against St Mirren. I think if Conor McCarthy had put that late header on target, St Mirren might get a point, albeit a scarcely deserved one at Ibrox last midweek. And then Sunday. So this has maybe been building up in Steven Gerrard. Went easy on them after Stranraer, easy on them after St Mirren, and just decided enough was enough on Sunday.
Do you not think some people would prefer that though, Mark? Just that honesty, saying what you think. Because you've been there, you're a fan, and there's nothing more frustrating than when you think your team's been hopeless and you have to listen to the manager putting a really positive spin on it and telling you things that you don't agree with. Is it really that big a deal that the manager just comes out and says what most of the fans were thinking?
No, I totally agree with him. And actually, I've got a lot of admiration for Steven Gerrard. I've got a brother-in-law, he's a big Liverpool, he's a Scouser, he lives up here. I loved him as a player, I love his honesty. But I just think it's sometimes he's a bit ill-advised, sometimes he's too honest for his own good, which is great for us, because I just think I found it quite encouraging, actually. Because, and another thing as well, I'd like to get your point on, was Steven Gerrard, but Chris Collins, he's called him. But now it looks like his celebration is premature. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I don't buy anything into that. I know that pundits have their own opinions, and Chris Commons is entitled to his. I think Steven Gerrard was celebrating the fact that, you know, just going to Celtic Park and getting that victory, getting that monkey off your back type, it'd be like Morelos scoring against Celtic. I don't think that he was coming out there and making a statement like, yes, that's us, we're going to win the league because we've won at Celtic Park. Listen, emotions are caught up in days like that. I'm sure Neil Lennon would celebrate as much as well if they go and Ibrox and they beat Rangers, fine. I've not got a problem with Steven Gerrard coming out and saying what he's saying. I actually think it's a good thing. I don't think it's going to upset Rangers play. I think it's just going to say, look guys, it's as simple as this. And he's very truthful. I like the way he handles the press. I think he's brilliant at it. The proof will be in the pudding tomorrow night, Gordon. He's looking for a reaction. He's bringing the players out and saying, listen, you're not hiding behind me all the time. Get up there, stand up and be counted. Let's see what happens tomorrow night. I think you'll get a positive reaction. I wouldn't bother whatsoever if as a Rangers player, I would be sitting there thinking, yeah, the manager's called me out. I'm going to prove tomorrow night that I have got the ball.
Let's hear from Celtic's new signing is Myla Sorrow. He believes his style of play will suit the Scottish game. The Ivorian midfielder, of course, became the second signing of the window. He won't feature this week, but speaking through an interpreter, he says he has a lot to offer.
I see it as a way to progress, to improve, and each time you move to a different club or a different country, you give your best, and hopefully that sets you on for the next stage. So coming here for me is a big step up, and it's part of this journey, and I'm really looking forward to being challenged. It's a big challenge, so it's something I'm really looking forward to. My motivation is not to become the best player, but certainly, yes, to be the best player I can be is what drives me. Playing in front of big crowds and the supporters and the kind of that. I see Scottish football as hard and tough, and I like that. And the tougher it gets, the better I get. The more aggressive you are, the more the opposition is aggressive, and that makes the game even harder for everybody. And I like
I thought you were going to have to translate that for a second, Gordon, and I was really yeah, looking forward to it. But I was sigh of relief when the interpreter kicked in, and it was great to hear from is Myla Sorrow for the first time. Mark and Uddickson, thank you very much for your call. Hopefully we'll hear from you soon. That was Mark on the line. Quickly on tonight's teaser, and it is a tough question tonight. Since 92, 11 Scots have gone directly from playing in Scotland's lower leagues to playing in the English Premier League. Scots born in Scotland. So far you've got Alec Mathey and Stephen Kingsley.
Is the Morton manager one? Dewey Hopkins.
Who did he go from?
Morton to was it Crystal Palace he went to?
It was Chelsea. Well done.
Yep.
David Hopkin.
Oh, that's a good one.
And while we're on the subject there, did Snodgrass go from Libby?
No.
Oh, that's me. I was on fire there.
Talking about Morton, Alec Mathey, David Hopkin. Derek Lilley go at that same stage?
Oh, Leeds United.
No. Morton to Leeds, no.
No.
Sure?
Well, he's not on the list. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, smudgers usually.
Well, right. Snodgrass got me thinking, was Graham Dorans a Livy player outside the top flight when he went down south?
He was. Livy to West Brom.
So he won.
Right. Was Alec one, no? Did he go to Falkirk to England?
I went to Millwall, though. Alec Ray, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, went to Millwall, not in the top flight at that time.
I'll try to get my timings right. When did Billy Gilmour leave Rangers?
No.
Billy Gilmour one, no.
Nope.
I seem back in the dim and distant.
This is hard.
Spurs signed a lad. Stephen Ferguson to Tottenham, no. For
never
five.
Played.
Did not play.
He never played for Spurs. That's a great shout, but he didn't play, unfortunately.
John Hendry was another, no.
Nope.
Went to Spurs.
I think you've actually done, I mean, you've got the four easy ones, don't get me wrong. But
What about Dobie? When Stephen Dobie first went down, no.
No.
The only other one I thought, Daz got me thinking when he mentioned Gary Taylor. I've been kind of trying to think through the clubs. Did Ayr not sell a centre half, Derek Allen, down to Southampton?
Yes. Centre half, yes.
Brilliant. Well done. Derek Allen from
Ayr
to Southampton.
Never got him.
That's such a good attempt. Well done. Right, we'll get the rest of them next. We're going to speak to Craig in Kilmarnock after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger and Gordon are trying to tackle tonight's teaser, and I must say, I think we've done the unthinkable. This is the equivalent of beating Roger Hanna at Beat the Pundit. I think John Smith has maybe left one out of his list, Roger, because you suggested it earlier on. Derek Lilley. Gordon Armour tweeted in Derek Lilley. Christopher McElhaney tweeted in Derek Lilley. Loads of people tweeted in Derek Lilley. Did a bit of research during the break, and I can't see why he wouldn't be one. He moved from Morton to Leeds. Morton wouldn't have been in the top flight, would they, at that time? Leeds so. Would have been in the English top flight. So. He was born in Scotland. We'll stick him down. We'll stick Derek Lilly down. Why not? So you, that just means you've got one more to get, unfortunately, for you guys. So you've got Dorans, David Hopkins, Stephen Kingsley, Alec Mathey, Derek Lilly, Derek Allen, players who went from Scotland's lower leagues and then played in the English top flight. They must have been born in Scotland, though, and it's obviously since 92, Premier League era. Any more? There's one biggie.
Biggie? As in?
Yeah, I mean, big name, big career, played for big clubs, well known. The rest are a bit more obscure.
We need clues, and it's only quarter to.
Okay, what about a guy who played for Dundee United?
Uh-huh.
Right, now he won promotion with United, but never went on to play in the top flight with them. So he won promotion, then got the move to an English Premier League team.
Was it? Did they go to Crystal Palace?
No. He went to Derby.
Christian Daly.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Daly never played in the Dundee United in the top flight.
Not according to John Smith, anyway. Yeah. So blame him. Here's some other ones that you might have missed that helps. Kevin Harper, Jay Fulton, both born in England. Stephen McInnesby played in the top flight.
Went to Bolton.
Yeah, but played in the top flight briefly with Wraith, as you should know.
Yeah.
Neil Alexander went to Crystal Palace but didn't get a game. So those are a couple that you can eliminate from your thinking.
Oh, that's me beating it.
Yeah, okay. Early action, the Scottish Cup, not yet. I don't think there's anything to tell you about in that one. There is another game, of course, tonight as well.
Falkirk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a big prize for the winner. TV game at home to Kenny the Jambo's beloved Hearts. So it'll be kudos for the players and cash for the two boards. And I don't think either Falkirk now down in League One or Arbroath fighting the good fight for a part-time team in the Championship. Neither club awash with money at the minute, so there's a big prize at stake. Hearts will take a lot of supporters to the game. I think it's one of these new 7:20 on a Saturday night games, whoever gets through to host the Jambos in the last 16. So listen, it was a not the best game first time round a couple of weeks back. I think it was 0-0 at Gayfield. Here's hoping for a better night tonight. Falkirk, I think, hit 6 at the weekend against Forfar. Arbroath, a fine home win against Partick Thistle. All to play for tonight. And a wee bit like the game we spoke about earlier on at Easter Road. Don't be surprised if it goes all the way to extra time and penalties.
Is home advantage enough in your mind to see Hibs through tonight? Or, I mean, it would still be an upset, I guess. It's a Championship team against a Premiership team, not a huge upset, but away from home, can United do it?
I would probably go for Hibs tonight, Gordon, through the home advantage. Dundee United are a threat because they have got experienced players. They'll not be fazed by pitching up at Easter Road in a cup tie, but I just think that home advantage will count tonight. It could go all the way, but I just see that Hibs will be in the next round.
I think it could go all the way.
Penalties.
Big night for Lauren Shankland. He scored against Hibs first time round. If he could do it again, and I'm sure the place will be jam-packed with English scouts watching Lauren Shankland, I wouldn't be surprised if Dundee United just nicked something. And again, a big prize because it's a TV game in the next round away to BSC Glasgow.
Yes, so join us tomorrow night. We'll give you all the fallout from that game at Easter Road. Just to finish off tonight and almost set us up nicely for tomorrow, it is a big match day. Celtic and Rangers are both in action. What are the main team selection dilemmas, headaches? What will be the big debating points on tomorrow's show with regards to that? Is it safe to say Rangers will have maybe one or two more given the defeat at the weekend?
Yeah,
a lot of calls for Matt Polster to perhaps come in.
I thought Polster was okay when he came on for Flanagan. He performed better second half than Flanagan had first half. Morelos will come back in for Defoe. Who starts in place of Jack? You would have to think Scott Arfield probably is due a start there. I can't see many more changes in the Rangers team. For Celtic, you would imagine Edouard would have to start at Perth, even if they only give him until they believe the game is won. I think Neil Lennon spoke today that Ryan Christie was back in the squad as well, so he'll come into the thoughts. And again, you discussed it earlier on, does the back four that looked so shaky in the first half against Ross County get another go together?
Is it worth Matt Polster, Gordon? I mean, John Flanagan's waited so long for his chance at right back. He has come under a bit of criticism for his performances. What do you think?
He didn't have the best 45 minutes, Gordon, let's be honest. But who did in the Rangers jersey? Yeah, I thought Polster come on, looked lively, looked sharp, got forward, put in a few good balls. I think it's very unfortunate nowadays that you get judged on the 45. He's waited his time. He's been a good pro there. It'll be interesting to see what the Rangers manager decides tomorrow. Obviously Morelos comes back in. Looking at the Celtic team, will Neil Lennon get back to Edward and Griffiths as a partnership? Will he get back to just Edward up there and take Griffiths out and give him a little bit of rest? He's played in the last three games. Will he go to a back three and play two wing backs, or, you know, Ayer back in the squad? Does he come back in? I think both managers have got good choices and plenty of choices to pick from.
No way he could go with Nathan Patterson.
No, I think Polster or Flanagan will definitely play tomorrow night before Patterson. I think he's one for the future.
If Odson Edward was brought on a bit earlier than hoped at the weekend, is there any chance he's left out again tomorrow to protect this toe injury?
We just don't know, do we? It's an ongoing, to use the phrase that they all like at the minute, he's managing the injury, Gordon.
Much like Gordon with his hip.
Yeah, absolutely. Except Odson can come on and score a couple of times and run about a bit. Mm-hmm. I think he'll start the game. But what we don't know is, you know, the spell he had on the pitch on Saturday, what effect that has had on the toe injury, whether it's worsened the injury, whether the injury's improved. But he's so crucial to Celtic. I think he'll need
funny
to start the game.
Funny you say that, Roger, because I did say on the show on Saturday, and I think it was just a knock, because when Edward came on, there was no signs of, you know, he's limping an injury. But when he went off, he was certainly limping down the tunnel, but he took a hard challenge just at the end of the game, so he probably have just ran that.
Well, that sets us up nicely for tomorrow. Join us from 6. It's a big match day, so we're looking for all your team lineup suggestions and predictions as we build up to kickoff. But we've got work to do tonight. On tonight's teaser, can you name, since 92, it's gone up to 12 Scots who've gone directly from playing in Scotland's lower leagues to playing in the English Premier League. Born in Scotland. They have to be born in Scotland. So guys like Derek Allen, Christian Daly, Graham Dorans, David Hopkin, Stephen Kingsley, Alec Mathey and Derek Lilly. You're doing really well, because it's a really tough question. You do still have some tough answers to go.
What about, that's the United thing, the fact that Daly, what about Billy McKinley?
No.
Are there any more Dundee United?
No, these ones are really tough.
Colin Hendry from Dundee?
No.
The ones that are left are...
Clues. We need
extremely
clues.
Extremely tough. Yeah. Two of them went from... In fact, the same route for two of them. Hamilton.
Oh, the right back went to...
I'll probably need a name.
What's your right back's name? The right back, did he go to West Ham?
No, Southampton.
Southampton, but via West Ham? Going back, just turn the left.
Are you thinking Stephen Hendry?
No, him. Yeah.
No.
That's a right back at Hamilton, isn't it?
I don't know if he's a right, but no. Two of these guys went from Hamilton to Southampton. Two of them.
From Hamilton?
Mm-hmm.
Colin Cram?
Yes.
Colin Cram, centre forward.
The last one? Or the last Hamilton one?
Oh, Paul McDonald?
Yes.
Oh, Roger.
Right, quick, two to go. Clyde to Norwich.
Clyde to Norwich?
Yep.
No chance.
Early 90s.
Quick. No, initials.
SH.
Stevenson. Stewart.
Is it the goalie?
Sandy.
Scott Howie. Scott Howie. Scott, you should know that one, Gordon. Mm. And the last one, Queen of the South to Nottingham Forest. Really tough.
Oh, that's big Chris Doig.
It's big Chris Doig. I've no idea how big he is. I'll take your word for it. Chris Doig.
By the way, you wouldn't like to meet him in a dark alley.
Is he big Chris Doig? I'll look him up. Thank you, Roger and Gordon. We're back tomorrow. Make sure you join us. Massive games in the Premiership.
We're not one to go?
I hope not.
I've maybe miscounted.
I think you've got them all. We're back tomorrow at 6 and Cassie is up next. She's in for Callum Gallagher.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.